You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Oh, no.
Top news of the day, breaking.
CBSSports.com, there it is. Upper right-hand corner, LeBron, reportedly happy in L.A., wants to retire a Laker. Good job. All right. Hey, he is. He's good.
I'm happy for him.
That's not what I'm about to talk about. You scroll slightly down.
There it is.
I see Zion high-fiving people at Cameron Indoor. Look at him. Look at him. Hey, yeah.
I showed this to you yesterday. You didn't want to believe it.
Well, no, because I don't know what to believe on the internet. But I scroll just below the picture, and there it is. CBSSports.com. I'm not making this up. Zion recalls snub by AD, and it could happen again.
Mm.
I saw this yesterday. A couple of people sent it to me, but it was just like a screen capture, I guess, from the SI story.
Correct.
But I didn't. No one told me it was an SI story. It was like, dude, I got that.
Man, and we are aching.
You know, I got that, and then it was like, you know, just the highlighted part of the text. No one told me it was from the Sports Illustrated story.
Poor Zion.
Okay. So apparently, Zion Williamson met AD a long time ago. Not really a long time ago. In a recently unearthed documentary from Williams's high school days in South Carolina, the big man talks about his relationship with young fans and explains why he always signs as many autographs as he can. According to Williamson, Anthony Davis and John Wall both turned him down for autographs when he was young. And he doesn't want to do that to any other kids.
Wow.
There it is.
That's the kind of player we're getting.
Yes. I was going to have a little fun with this and be like, but you know what? You're right. Let's be the bigger. Let's just focus on the positive on this. Clearly it affected him. It bothered him.
Correct.
But instead of being like one way, he goes the way of, when they look at me and do that, I'm going to make sure I find the time to do that. And that's hard. I've said this a lot. Look, I've seen athletes walk past people, and I've had friends with, dude, he won't stop. I get it. And I don't mean I get it as in people always do that and bother me. No one ever asks for, you know, and they wouldn't. They shouldn't. I get it. But
I got an over.
I can imagine what that would be like. Like, the only thing I can compare to, I mean, ever so remotely, is being at dinner or at the store and people come up and want to talk sports. You know, sometimes I've never done that, but I've been at a restaurant or something and somebody comes up and like, hey, didn't want to bother you with you. What do you think of this and stuff like, you know what I'm saying? So I can understand that. I mean, I've never gone AD and be like, dude, I'm in the middle of my nacho dip. No.
Funny you say nacho.
Not now.
I met Ryan Anderson at like this Mexican place, or this like I don't know what to call it, but
a cantina.
Yeah, something. Like
okay,
that.
Yeah.
And he actually like stopped and talked to me for a good amount of time, like 30 minutes, and he was
like I said,
completely fine.
I think
with
you'll get athletes more if it's just like a conversation thing.
Correct.
The problem is this, and you'll see it, and you did right. Saints training camp, the best place to get stuff signed. Mini camp, all the players walk around. Drew Brees, you want Drew? Don't ask me. Don't ask Jordan. We can't do it. Like, we'll get our credentials taken away. But you can imagine what that's like. You know, and it's not that they're trying to be ugly about it. In that case. Like, you know, you see somebody with your family or something like that. It's kind of hard to do that. So I get it. So I don't know the context of it. Their sound on it. We'll play it here in a little bit when he talks about it. But I think it's pretty cool that your future face of the franchise says that because of that, He will always find time to sign things for the autographs for the kids. And look, and I say that because you have these clowns that show up, and I'm not calling every adult that shows up a clown that wants something signed. I get it. When you show up with bags of merch, you're selling it.
Yeah, correct. 100%.
I mean, you're selling it. Like,
and the players know that. Like, they have enough.
I have an office in my house that I have memorabilia. Okay, I got a Greg Maddux ball cap that I wore the day I saw him at an Astros game, and he signed it, and it went straight to a shelf. But it was my Cubs hat, and it's there for me, Greg Maddux, right? Hall of Famer. If I'd have shown up with six Cub hats, a couple of jerseys, an autographed play, you know, bear claw foam finger, yeah, I mean,
I'm out here hustling.
I'm hustling. That's right. I'm the hustle monster all of a sudden. Get what I'm saying? But it is pretty cool to see that aspect of the story. He says, when I was little, I looked up to high school players and wanted their autographs, and sometimes I couldn't get it. I'd be hurt. I say, when I grow up, I don't want to be like that. I want to sign every kid's autograph, no matter how long it takes me. I try to sign every kid's autograph. I don't want to turn down a little kid now because I know it will hurt them because it hurt me. Anthony Davis, John Wall turned me down, so I try to sign everybody's.
Did it say where he got turned down? Like, what kind of event?
No, I don't. Like I said, that's what I'm saying. I don't know the context, you know, but of course the rest of the story adds, well, maybe Dave's about to spurn him again. But he's, look, it's two different situations. Trust me, man. Kid, you're going into a better situation. Again, don't. There are people, well, he's in LA. I was going to say there are people that will clear. They'll do their own police motorcade on Airline Drive to make sure he has a straight line path to Atlantic Aviation to jump on that private jet. I don't think AD ever sets foot again in New Orleans unless there's a game going on with whoever he's playing. So earlier today, Trayson Langdon was introduced. There was a conference call, so it's on the phone. David Griffin, overall, it starts a little hard to hear, but give it a second, and you'll hear what he has to say. But just overall, David Griffin on why he wanted to bring in Trayson Langdon. And I think it's interesting when you listen once again, just certain keywords and things that stand out.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. It's really exciting for me to be able to announce Trayson Langdon is joining us as general manager. Trayson and I were together in Cleveland. Prior to his stint in Brooklyn with Sean, we had a short run together, not quite a full year, but getting to know Trayson, Tatiana, Troy, and Aiden, his family, it was really special for me and my wife, and we just couldn't be happier to be joining us on a human level. I think this falls very much in line with what we said we were going to be about at the press conference. We're going to attract and gather as much of the best and brightest as we possibly can here. The commitment Mr. Benson has made to this process is total and it's absolute. And she's been as supportive as you could possibly hope for an owner to be. So I think that commitment had a great deal to do with Trayson's thought process as well. But without further ado, I will turn it over to Mr. Langdon to answer any questions you all have.
As for Trayson, essentially, what was it about wanting to come to the Pelicans and really working with David Griffin?
I think he's all inclusive. I think he really he brings in the people that he trusts and that he relies upon. And he empowers those people. I think he doesn't micromanage people. He gives people a lot of autonomy in their roles. He wants them to be stars in their roles, but he also wants people to grow while they're in their roles. I think it's not like you're just a scout. It's, okay, you're leading pro scouting, but I want you in on this meeting when we're talking about leading up to the trade deadline. And I think that's one thing that is, I really enjoyed in working with him in Cleveland was that all-inclusiveness and the autonomy and belief that he had in me. And that's something that really drew me when he approached me for this job. So I know I can learn a lot from him. And I'm all about the challenge and continuing to learn it. And I think this opportunity you know, gives me that.
So what exactly about the opportunity is interesting with the Pelicans?
My time here in Brooklyn has been fantastic. The challenges that were here upon me coming in 3 years ago were daunting. And I think what we're able to do in the 3 years has been tremendous. My intrigue about this job was, again, working with David Griffin, especially once he told me how much Mrs. Benson was really set upon this being her baby and this team being successful and ultimately being invested to the point where she's going to bring in high-character people and give David Griffin the bandwidth to bring those people and bring us together and do what needs to be done to create a team of sustainable excellence. So I think it's another challenge and one that's greater being in a smaller market. I think Brooklyn has put themselves in a place now where they can attract those big-name people, and that's what we want to do there as well, but in a different market. And like Griff has said in the past, doing that in a small market like did in Cleveland is just a lot more rewarding when you find that success at some point. And whether that'll be in 1, 2, 4 years, who knows, but when that success does come, it's going to be incredibly rewarding to bring that to a place where everybody's invested in a smaller market like we did in Cleveland. So I'm looking forward to that challenge and am incredibly excited about it.
Speaking of that challenge, how difficult do you think it will be?
No, it was a very difficult decision for me and my family. My wife and my kids are very happy here. And we found, obviously, considered this home for the past 3 years. I made a very difficult decision to move from Cleveland to here 3 years ago. Any move for a family is difficult. And obviously, from a professional side, what we've been able to do here the past 3 years and building a culture and becoming successful, getting our team into the playoffs, has been immeasurable. But the opportunity to join up with Griff again and do something special in a place that nobody believes it can be done, but aside from the people in this organization and the city, is something that is very intriguing, and it's just a new challenge and a new opportunity that I'm very excited to be a part of.
Ooh, I like that. As we go to our first break this hour, bottom of the hour, Chris Blair will talk LSU baseball, and we're trying to get a time set up for Gary Smith of the Advocate to preview Tulane as conference tournament's underway, I think 1:45. But how about that from Trajan Langdon? Much more out of this break. But Jordan, you hear him say, what's exciting is trying to win at a place that no one thinks it can happen outside of the organization and the city. I love that. Already, he hadn't even gotten here, and he's going, you know what? It's what David Griffin said in his introductory press conference. You're 100% in or you're not. These new hires, these new people in charge of your basketball team have a singular focus, singular goal. Win. Consistently and the right way to do it. Everything they're doing from here on out is just to that. Again, I get Trajan Langdon, David Griffin, they're not shooting the three. They're not trying to stop Draymond Green from bringing the ball up the court. I understand that. But those guys are tasked to try to find people that can't. And if you just judge by what you're hearing, it's refreshing because we have never heard it here in New Orleans. I'm talking about when the Hornets moved here. I'm talking about when Chris Paul was here. I'm talking about after AD got here. I hear one thing from both of these men already. Vision. They're telling you the plan. What they're doing, how long it will take, that it's going to take a bit, it's going to take work, but we'll get it done. Vision. I've always said fans will stand by you if you have a plan, if you have a vision. I'm hearing one. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Night before, love was in your
eyes. The night before, appliances. Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer went to Rod Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges, and dishwashers, washers, and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Common sense. It's missing in government today.
Big Mike Fazy. He's not a politician.
I'm Mike Fazy, and I care about our future. This community is made of talented, hardworking people who deserve more.
Big Mike Fazy, focused on finding solutions.
To grow our economy, improve schools, and tackle coastal erosion, we need new leaders who will say no to the good old boy system and just deliver results.
Big Mike Fazy, State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Trajan Langdon spoke this morning in a conference call. So, we'll continue with him and then finish off here before we get to Chris Blair, bottom of the hour preview, LSU, South Carolina tonight, 8 o'clock start. Tulane set to take on UCF coming up in the American Conference Tournament. Later tonight, Gary Smith will help us preview that. As for Langdon, on the time it will take to get better, he thinks.
Yes, I think so. I think that we had some of those talks. Honestly, when I interviewed for the job and I was in front of ownership, it was, sure, we want to win, but we want to build this organization the right way with the right people and have sustainable excellence. And that's something that Griff has echoed not only upon receiving the job, but also when we talked before he offered me the position. And that's something that I think is important. I don't think you can be in a win-now mode when you have to develop a culture, and there's a lot of things that need to be done in terms of bringing in the right people and making sure we're all on the bus headed in the right direction. So I think you can't skip steps. I think a lot of organizations in the past, when you look back, when you try to skip steps, it puts the organization behind. So I think that's one thing in talking to Griff that he's talked about already is we're looking for small wins day to day, which is bringing in the right people, making the right decisions, and being all headed in the right direction. And so that's what we're looking to do, and I think that's one important thing that we did that led to the success here in Brooklyn as well. It wasn't go out and get big-name players. It was we're going to build from within, we're going to develop, we're going to find those diamonds in the rough that we think our coaching staff can develop and, you know, turn into from a G League player into, you know, a potential six-man of the year candidate and a, you know, three-point champion. I think those are the things that we did in Brooklyn, and those are the exact same things we'll look to do in New Orleans as well.
Man, if you're a Pelicans fan, that sound bite sounds like just liquid gold, doesn't it? Audio gold. What did I just say before the break? Vision. We talked about this last year. Jordan, you remember, you were sitting right here. A little down as the Warriors closed out the Pelicans. The next day, we came on the air and I said, how do you build a team moving forward? What do? And I said, you can't compete. You can't try to build your team to take on Golden State. I just think it wasn't there. You didn't have the money. You didn't have draft picks. It just didn't make sense. It's harder to do. Houston's done everything possible to do that. They still can't beat them. They've come close. I'll give them that. But they did. They tried to basically build a team and spent a lot of money to do that. I think sometimes you have to be a realist and just observe what's in front of you. I started the show by saying you're seeing a lot of national people calling Golden State now a dynasty. Dynasties are special. They're unique. They are what they are. You contend with it. You can try to be, at some point in time, you build to be there when you have a chance to end it. Right? In the NBA, you've seen it. Lakers, Celtics, then the Pistons took over, then finally the Bulls sort of did, you know, San Antonio. I mean, so it sort of happens, but San Antonio is a very good example of what Trajan is, and again, he is a Spur, has experience at the Spurs, so
I mean, you can understand you can still kind of consider that dynasty is still kind
absolutely.
Of going on.
What is it, 20-plus years yes. of the postseason every single year?
Correct.
Yeah, so all of that mean, or was it 50 wins? Is that what it is? They missed the playoffs, I thought, last year. But the point is, it's winning seasons every year. It's postseasons every year. Build your team consistently. The thing that really stood out in that soundbite for me, though, David Griffin says every day we need small wins. It seems like a massive undertaking, like trying to rise up the Titanic or, you know, get to Mars initially. Because you go, how do you do it? How you? AD's leaving. How do you build it?
I mean, it's kind of cliche, but Rome wasn't built in one day.
Bingo. Yeah. But that's just it. You can't. You start. It's anything in life. Anything, right? We want to be known to say, all right, there's steps that have to be taken. You can hire the top talent in the country. If you don't have the support for that talent, it's not going to happen. That's in anything, any sport. You can go get the big name free agent, but if you have a terrible bench, right, then you don't have a very good team. You have to have support. That's what you keep hearing. AD didn't have enough stars. They better build enough people and put enough people in place for Zion. Same thing. It was great to hear that just now. Small victories every day. And he said it starts with the people. Small victories. Aaron Nelson, victory. Takes care, hopefully, of your player personnel and health. You got it. Victory. New equipment, new treatment for your players to through the season, get them back on the court. And, of course, always... It's pretty crazy, Landon. Executive League of the Year, international experience of players. That's a victory. Basketball guy. Worked with him. Basketball guy. Has the respect of young players. Victory. They're winning already in the important stages, but I love hearing that. Eric, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
God bless you. Two questions. You think it was wise of Zion to be calling out NBA vets already, or do you like that in him? And two, what do you see that needs to be done to market the team better? I guess that would be one step that David Griffin would be looking at also.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, that's it. That's an area that I've talked about a ton on the air, that it can improve. If you remember when the AD thing took place, from that point on, basically into the hire, I said – sometimes you have to invest, the word invest. You have to invest in the organization. You have to invest in its fans. You have to invest in your product. Any business that succeeds, you have to invest. Apple has success with their latest products. It costs to develop it. You have to develop it. You have to invest in it. You have to develop into your players. Southwest is a huge company that employees love, right? Well, they take care of them. They give them their best packages. They give them vacations. People are happy there. You have to invest in your employees. And in this regard, you have to invest in your fan base. Yes, winning solves everything. Winning's easy, Eric. When people win or something, the restaurant hot or, you know, a place to go out and dance, drink is bumping, that's easy. How do you get that, though? And I think you have to get out in the community. You have to get out. I mean, I've said this 100 times. A kiosk in Lakeside Mall, Mall Louisiana, somewhere on the coast as well, something on the West Bank at Oakwood. There should be something where people traffic it by walking back and forth all the time. You know, I mean, it's easy to do. You can sell merchandise there. You can have tickets there. You can have kiosks there where people can check their ticket, buy gift cards. You know, I could buy a pair of tickets to Jordan to go see the Knicks. AD's return to the arena. I can just go there instead of driving downtown. You know what I'm saying? But yes, I have the store there. I can get a ticket there. I can go online. But you know what? I don't want to pay $7 in surcharge and print fee. What if I'm at the Disney store with my 2-year-old and right behind me, with the Pels, and then all of a sudden I can just buy a ticket. So I think that's what helps.
Right. What do you think about Zion calling out the veterans already?
Eric, he was calling him out. I think he was asked about why his orders, and he did because he got. You know? I think that's the reason. I don't think it was more of a calling out as opposed to. You know, so, take a quick break. We come back. Chris Blair. Next, it's the Sports Hangover on ESPN.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
Now is the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get your next project started during Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
You could win free fuel for a year in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway. Fuel Rewards members are automatically entered every time they purchase 8 gallons or more. And if you choose new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you get 4 entries. So, it's time to fill up for a chance to win. Not a member? To join, download the app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. No purchase necessary. Motion ends 9/1/19. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play, and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. Tournament's about to get underway. SEC tournament already underway. The Tigers will be later tonight taking on South Carolina. 8 o'clock start. The Voice of the Tigers joins us to preview at Tigers Voice. It's the way to follow Mr. Chris Blair on Twitter. Chris, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Gus. Hope everybody's good there. I tell you, this SEC tournament already a pretty good game to start the action earlier today between Texas A&M and Florida. So when you say it's going to be a late night start, looks like we're already behind the eight ball. So as I said last weekend, look to get started somewhere between 8 and midnight tonight.
Todd said the same thing, but he said Clearwater, Florida. And quite honestly, between you and I keep getting texts of the beach. So at some point, he's going to join the team and do that. Chris, when you look at this tournament, there's so many different storylines going in, obviously, with these Tigers in and of it. That battle of having to wait all day and to really start that late. Is that a storyline, starting late?
You know, I think so. I mean, just simply because it's obviously has a chance to be and looks like it will be one of the latest starts of the season. And, you know, when you're sitting around in a hotel, I mean, I don't care if you're 18 to 21-year-old or mid-40s. I mean, sitting around all day kind of waiting to do whatever it is that you're supposed to do, you know, takes a toll on you. But they work very hard. Had a full day plan for the team, obviously, a couple of workouts, a couple of team meetings to make sure that they're not just sitting by idly waiting for that start. But it's a little different. But, you know, I mean, we've done it before. I mean, you know, in the 4 years I've covered this tournament, I mean, we've had everything from a game end around 2:30 in the morning to a fog delay. So you can just about expect anything. I think more importantly for LSU, it's just about getting out of here. There's a mission coming to Hoover. And there has been since Coach Menary's been at LSU, and that is to win the SEC tournament. But there's a little added mission this time around because, you know, they dropped the game in tough fashion on Saturday to Auburn. A lot of people, including the team, felt like 18 wins in the SEC would get you in that conversation of hosting a regional. Might not get you that regional host, but would get you in that conversation. So now a little bit of work left to do, taking on a South Carolina team tonight, hopefully able to pick up that 18th win. And then move on in the tournament. So I don't know if it matters whether they had, you know, had first pitch at 9:30 this morning or 9:30 tonight. I think right. They're well aware of what's on the line.
Yeah, you've been telling us as the weeks go on the importance of each weekend series and towards the end of the year. And Paul Menary last week did mince words. He said it, you know, they needed a sweep, win some games in Hoover so you can host that regional. Do you think overall that still is out there if they can get some work done in Hoover?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, 17 wins in the SEC, the difference between 17 and 18 wins, to me, is night and day, just based on the competition in the league this year. 17 wins is a good record in the toughest conference in the country, but 18 wins looks very, very good. You know what I mean? So I don't think they're out of the conversation of that. So if they come in here, chances are they're going to play a couple of teams, if they get a couple of wins, that is, that have high RPIs, and I think that that's still going to weigh a lot with this committee. I kind of get the feeling that with double elimination beginning tomorrow, if you can get the win tonight and maybe go 2-2 while you're in Hoover, I think that's going to solidify it for you because I think they'll get in that room, they'll look at all the available host sites, and then they're going to say there's really not a lot of places in the country coast to coast that take to college baseball like they do in Baton Rouge and Louisiana, and we feel like we can sell a few tickets with four teams we send to Alec Box Stadium. So I think that helps LSU quite a bit. Now, some people say that's not fair, blah, 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 whatever. It is what it is. So I think if they can get maybe two more wins here in Hoover, and obviously they'd love to have more, but if they get two more wins, I think when they get in that room, the committee's going to look at their RPI, their wins against high RPI teams, and they'll also say, we might make a little more coin if we have that regional in Baton Rouge.
I mean, that's just the fact, isn't it? That LSU Tigers voice knew to follow Chris Blair over on Twitter. You know, it's interesting. LSU has, what, 12 SEC tournament title wins there. Having been there and seeing it, why do they play well there? Why do they have so much confidence they can win the SEC title?
I think with Coach Paul Menary, and I can't speak for Skip Bertman, but for Paul Menary, I think it's really about there's a chance to go win some hardware. And, you know, he doesn't take that lightly. And, you know, he talks about it all the time. And I think even when they've come to Hoover for this tournament and already have locked up a top eight seed, national seed, going into the NCAAs, he doesn't let them rest on their laurels. I mean, he beats it every day. We've got to go to Hoover, and we're wearing LSU on the chest, and we're supposed to win the LSU Invitational in Hoover, Alabama. So I think because there's such an emphasis that once guys get in the program, it's hard for them to kind of overlook it as, okay, we've already done what we've needed to do, and we're more concerned about the NCAA and a run to Omaha, because it is top of mind, and it's talked about so much. And, you know, they've had some fortuitous luck. Coach would be the first to tell you that. And he's always told his team, hey, look, if you go out and you play hard and you put the effort into it and don't overlook the SEC tournament, you get a couple of breaks. And, like, you know, Todd Peterson taking one off the wall last year against South Carolina to get the Tigers back in the ballgame, you know, good things are going to happen. So I think because there's an emphasis there, and I'm not saying that the other coaches don't. I just know that for Coach Paul Menary, you know, one of his – you know, proudest achievements was with that 2009 team. They won every championship they could have won in that season, and that's because he puts an emphasis on it. So whether it's winning the SEC regular season, winning the SEC tournament, winning the regional, winning the super regional, and winning the national title, every time they played for something, that hardware meant something. And I think that's an emphasis he puts on it, and I think that's why the players respond.
Chris, obviously heading into tonight's game, you've seen some guys start to step up here in the last couple of games and towards the end of the season. Pitching's been something we've talked about week in and week out. So I guess we start on the mound because that's really where every game sort of ends and begins, really. How about some of these guys stepping in? Landon Marceau seems to be a guy that could really be a key figure in this tournament.
Yeah, I think Landon Marceau is on schedule because he was out, you know, 5 to 6 weeks. And I think we would see this Landon Marceau, say, in mid-April, what we're seeing now. He's just been kind of, again, off schedule a little bit. So without question, I mean, he was co-SEC Freshman of the Week, which he certainly deserved. And, you know, we're seeing why he was so highly touted and, you know, why, you know, professional scouts as well as college coaches wanted to use his services. And, you know, now with a couple of big games and experiences under his belt, I mean, he pitched a marvelous game against Arkansas in a tough environment to avoid the sweep for LSU. 2 weekends ago was maybe the most dominant performance and one of the most dominant performances in the SEC last week against Auburn. Just had total command of his pitches, was throwing whatever he wanted, and had the batters on their heels. So he's going to play big. You just got to get to where he can come in to pitch. And that's, you know, what Coach told us on Monday night on his radio show, was that you saw a good performance by Eric Walker in game one against Auburn. You saw a fantastic performance against Landon Marceau. But this team's going to have to find a way with some other guys stepping up on the mound to get you to Wednesday, Thursday, and possibly deeper into the weekend to see those guys come back with maybe a day less rest they would be able to go. So it's going to be up to pitching. I think the story for this team, you know, the offense obviously has been inconsistent at times. When you really look at it, they've been very inconsistent in midweek games. And I'm not saying midweek games don't matter, because I can tell you the win last week against UNO was very important in that final week of the season. But, you know, overall in SEC play, it's been a little inconsistent, but the big storyline has been, you know, this team getting down early and starting pitching, they're only able to go 3 or 4 innings and have a deficit when they leave the mound. That just can't happen here. I mean, it's do-or-die situation, not only to try to get deep into the SEC tournament, but to try to pad that resume and get that host. The starting pitchers, whoever's on the mound's got to be able to give 4 to 5 innings, keep the Tigers close, and then turn it over to a bullpen, which overall this season I think has done exceptionally well.
So what's the pitching rotation starting tonight?
Well, I think the word is that we'll see Cole Henry. You know, I'm not sure how much, you know, he'll be able to throw coming off that injury, or arm soreness, I should say, but says he's ready to go, and wow, that's what we expect to see. After that, You know, you're still without Trent Bittmeyer. You know, I believe, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to go, although he did make the trip. It'd be great if he was able to come in out of the bullpen. But I think you'll see the usual suspects. I mean, you'll have to go to a bullpen that would have to give you 2 to 3, 4 innings, which they've been accustomed to this season. So we'll just see how it goes. I think the key is going to be to keep it close. You know, South Carolina, you may be wanting a scouting report on them. Sure. One thing that stood out to me today, if you're watching on the SEC Network, this is a big ballpark. Home runs are kind of hard to come by, but the wind and conditions at the ballpark today are letting balls fly out of there. A&M and Florida both had a handful of home runs in that first game of the morning. If those conditions continue tonight, you're talking about a South Carolina team that's got over 70 home runs. They only average about 230 in the lineup. So they're not going to wow you with their numbers in that department. But, you know, when you can get the ball up and over the fence over 70 times in a season, that's got to give you some concern. So I think that's the big thing. And I also think that for LSU, again, not to, you know, belabor the point, but you're talking about a team that has given up early runs and having to play from behind. If they can keep the game close and possibly get their offense up and started early and kind of put South Carolina away, this is a team that's had a handful of success this year, but more of it has been disappointment. So bring them into Hoover, build a lead, give your starting pitcher, your bullpen guys a comfortable lead to work with, and then just break the spirit of South Carolina. If you let them hang around and we get into a late-inning ball game, it concerns me with the power they have in that lineup.
Mr. Chris Blair. Earlier game, A&M over Florida, 8-7 in 10 innings. Tigers take on South Carolina tonight. As Chris said, sometime between 8 and midnight. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I talked to Todd earlier before coming on, and we're both like making plans for our 4 or 5 p.m. nap today, so we'll be ready to go. So
that's right.
I love Hoover, but I think he might have the better environment today, although it's very hot and muggy here in Hoover, Alabama. But
it's going to
be
a
late one. We hope people will hang out with us.
I'm shocked, Chris. He hasn't sent you any pictures of his feet in the sand by the water. I'm shocked.
No, it's probably coming. That's probably where he's going to take his nap.
I hear you. Voice of the Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair. Thanks, as always, man, for a little bit of your time.
You got it, Gus. Thank you, guys.
At LSU Tigers, voice the way to follow him on Twitter. It's ridiculous. I'm just jealous. I mean, it is what it is. Not that I don't mind hanging out with you in here, but it's in Metairie, in the studio. Not on the sands.
Maybe you should
of
bring
a beautiful beach of Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, I actually have to bring something up to you during the break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, we'll try to get a hold of Gary Smith. I feel bad; he's on his son's field trip. I need a preview of the Tulane game. Andrew Lopez is going to come in between 2 and 3. We'll talk Pels. We'll talk hoops with him. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
A two-part conversation with the great Bobby Hurley about his storied career as a player and now as a coach.
I think I had a really unrealistic perspective as a player. So much goes into it, so difficult.
Plus, the top chef in Minneapolis makes a bold claim about his city's culinary scene.
The food, especially in our town, I think is the hottest food destination in America.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, so we know the Tigers will be playing later on this evening. Also, waiting to see what time they will play will be the Tulane Green Wave as they take on UCF tonight. Gary Smith of the Advocate covers the Greenway. First off, let me apologize to you. I've been a bother all day as you're just trying to be your due diligence as a dad and take your son out on a field trip, man.
Yeah, no, I'm back from the field trip, and I love coming on your show. So no bother at all.
Where was it, man? Where was the field trip? Did they beat a
Bruce? No, actually, this is their end-of-year field trip. Sector 6, which is that bouncy house place. Yeah,
nice.
They do that near the end of their school year every year. So, not a good idea at my age to get involved, but I can't take him on the field trip without doing some of that stuff. So it was kind of comical seeing me try to climb out of the, doing a rope zip line thing and then climbing out of all the little mushy stuff that cushions your fall and my arthritic knee wasn't cooperating too much, but I made it out.
I get on the floor, and I'll send you the video later. I was talking about it yesterday with Marlon. My two-year-old comes running at me and just, sacks me. I'm the quarterback here. And I'm like, man, I'd hurt my shoulder. And I'll get on the floor and play with him. I'm like, how are you comfortable just on these wood floors? You're just moving and it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
So,
right.
They can handle a lot better than me. Mm-hmm. Speaking how to handle this, how do you describe the end of the Tulane season, Gary?
Throw out all those losses to UNO, because that was the worst part of Tulane season. But really what happened was they played the four best teams in the league in their last four series. They played the four weaker teams in the league in the beginning of the year, so that their record in conference play was a little misleading. But no, I mean, their bullpen is the gift that keeps on giving for opponents. Once their starter leaves the game, they can't trust anybody to go in with the exception of Justin Campbell, who's not great but is relatively reliable. They can't trust anybody to go in there and get an out. I'm not talking about get out of the inning. I'm talking about get an out. and they almost the one game they won against UConn to end the year, which turned out to be a huge win for them. It was the same thing. They're up 8-1 going into the eighth inning. They take out Chase Selesky, and suddenly it's 8-6 with the tying run on first base in the ninth inning, and it's nail-biting time again. Having said all of that, Travis Jewett, if he could have handpicked a bracket for Tulane to be in for this conference tournament, he could not have handpicked a better bracket than what Tulane got. It's actually pretty remarkable that the number two seed in their bracket is Cincinnati, which has an RPI above 100 and is probably one of the two or three worst teams in the league. They just happened to finish second in the standings. They have a losing overall record, and Memphis is also in the bracket, and they were picked last in the league. They also have an RPI above 100. Both Memphis and Cincinnati have the two worst RPIs in the league, and they're in Tulane's bracket. And then the team Tulane's playing tonight, UCF, is pretty hot. They're a pretty good team. Caleb Roper, who's pitching tonight for Tulane, 18 days ago when he faced UCF, he pitched eight innings, gave up four hits, one run, and struck out 11. That's a guarantee of nothing. Games don't go the same way again, but that's a dream scenario. Basically, he had his best game of the year against the team he's facing again tonight. That's as good a situation as you could possibly hope to have. Meanwhile, on the other bracket, you've got East Carolina, which dominated the league, and Houston and UConn, which are probably going to get at-large bids, the three teams that are in line to make it regionals, are all on the other side of the bracket. So this is a huge opportunity for Tulane to do something and get to a championship game when, obviously the end of the season wasn't pretty for them.
So you're saying there's a chance, Gary. You're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying that I'm saying it's a realistic chance. Now, getting the championship game is a different story if they get there, which they would have to. They have to win the tournament to get an NCAA regional, obviously. But when the three teams in your bracket are Memphis, Cincinnati, and a UCF team who your starting pitcher dominated the previous time, it's not unrealistic. And again, Tulane is the number three seed in the tournament as rough as the year ended. And three of the teams that handed them those series losses at the end of the year, three of those four teams are all on the other half of the bracket.
One of the clear positives of this season was Cody Hosey, American Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah. He was phenomenal. I mean, it's a shame he's in his first slump of the year, and that's going to happen in baseball. I wrote a glowing feature about him, telling everybody they needed to come to the ballpark to watch him play last weekend. It was the first weekend he struggled all year. So his batting average is all the way down to .388 now. that's how good this guy was. He's been hitting over .400 the entire season, basically, until last week. He has 23 home runs, but he doesn't hunt home runs. He's just as liable to draw a 9-pitch walk as he is to hit the ball out of the park. He's a great teammate. He's fun to watch. And after his rough weekend against UConn, I'm pretty sure he's going to bounce back this weekend. I have a pretty strong feeling you're going to see the best of Cody Hosey. And what will this, if Tulane doesn't win the tournament, these are the last college games of his career, because he's a likely late first round in major league draft pick. And so that'll be the end of Cody Hosey at Tulane. But he really is a heck of a player.
Gary, we'll wrap up obviously with the most important aspect of it. I just got done talking to Chris Blair. It's an issue for LSU baseball. It's pitching. How do you think the rotation goes starting tonight with Tulane? And what does Travis Jewett, I guess, sort of have in his mind? I mean, is it quick triggers, or is it, you know, all hands on deck?
Yeah.
What is the plan?
No, the whole, their starting pitchers underachieved this year. They're pretty good, and they have been good at times this year. No, definitely a quick trigger would be a very bad idea, because the last thing Tulane wants to do is go to its bullpen. So Caleb Roper, who was picked all second team, that was a little weird. Caleb Roper is a pretty good pitcher, but he has a 4.95 ERA, 4.90 ERA this year, and he was picked all second team conference. That tells you how much respect he has around the league. He's going tonight. He's going to go as long as he can possibly go, unless he's getting shelled out there. And last year in the conference tournament against ECU, he was brilliant for 7 innings. He gave up 1 run, and they were in the same situation. They put him back out on the mound in the 8th, and he gave up some hits, and they ended up losing the game. But no, all of their starting pitchers, their second starter, Keegan Gillies, they want him to go as long as he can. And Chase Selesky is pitching his best ball of the year. He pitched a terrific game against UConn on Saturday. He's going to be their third starter. And the formula for success for Tulane is all three of those guys going at least 7 innings and making them go to the bullpen as little as possible, because it's just rough. It's just really rough in that bullpen when any of those relievers come on the mound.
Gary Smith of The Advocate, always a pleasure when you come on, including, you know, you know what? Now I know. You just did want to get stuck in the, you know, the rope and the balls and all that other stuff over there at Sector 6. That's what it was. You needed a timeout.
That's exactly it, because it really did. It took me about a minute to climb out of that pit. it was. I was like, I was just sinking. I was thinking I was gonna. I thought that was gonna be. My epitaph was gonna be. He died in a pit of soft material.
Mine's only 2, but I'm waiting for the field trip over to laser tag. I'm taking them all.
Yeah.
I don't care.
There you
who's
go.
Left. Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna be like Halo. I'm gonna be sneaking behind doors and everything. I don't care if he's 5 or 6. Pop, 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 pop.
Absolutely. Gotta show him his boss.
That's right. That's right. I'm still dad. Dad's still the hero, even though he tells me I don't like dad right now. So that's what it is. I'm told it's part of the growth process. So anyway, thank you, Gary. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Always like being on your show.
For sure, man. Thank you. What are you grinning about over here? What?
I don't think your kid at that young of an age saying that he doesn't like you is normal.
You know, I thought about that. I think part of the thing is I'm sort of I'm the disciplinarian. You know, like, it's time to change your shirt if you want to go outside. I mean, I'm trying to help him. He has the long sleeve pajamas on. I'm like, buddy, it's 90 degrees outside.
You're definitely the enabler.
Oh, no.
Yes, you are.
No.
You're a sucker. He has you wrapped around his finger.
I mean, I might give him cake right before dinner, but I mean, you know. I made him his own Mickey cake this weekend. I'm like kind of dad, Jordan.
How well did the cake come out?
It's great. I'll show you a picture. It looked just like Mickey Mouse.
Can't believe you didn't send me a picture of it over the weekend.
Wow. Is that a reference to too many pictures that I send over the weekend to you?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Quick NFL news before we wrap up our number 2. It has to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's right. Go ahead, Jordan.
And Ndamukong Suh signs a 1-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh. Jerry McCoy released yesterday. $13 million is what he was owed. There's 4 teams reportedly in on the running. Who are they, Jordan?
We have Patriots, Saints, Browns, and I didn't write the other one down.
Hey, see, it's called the Chargers.
Yes.
Chargers, the Browns, Joey, your Cleveland Browns. That team called the Patriots and your New Orleans Saints. Sitting in front of us here in studio, he made it. Found his way over here, Mr. Andrew Lopez of the TimesPQNola.com. How are you, Andrew?
I'm pretty good, man.
You ready to talk some hoops?
I'm ready to talk hoops. I'm ready to talk whatever you want to talk about.
Trajan Langdon.
I got a lot of time
well,
now.
Well, not just that, man. you covered LSU, obviously, the prep scene. You've been around for a while. So 800-998-1003. If you got any questions for Andrew, you want to talk Pels, NBA playoffs, all of that's coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Someone